many like the word nature? I mean, think about it for a moment. I think this is an important word. I like nature. I'm not a huge nature guy. I don't know a lot about it, but I like being in it. You know, I think nature conjures up images of things that are good. The word alone has the ability to create vivid imagery of peace and beauty and breathtaking scenery, and many would deem it a positive word that in many cases and oftentimes overcomes the things in a negative world. Let me give you an example of this. So when our girls were growing up, and they were one time very small, and they would fit in a little red wagon. We live on the golf course, and so we would jump on hole four at the Den, and we would take little Jillian first. When she was old enough, she wouldn't fall over in the wagon. We would take her on what were called nature walks, and I would go up and I would say, "Hey, sweetie, do you want to take a nature walk?" And she would get so excited, and she'd say yes. Now, the goal was to find things in nature, and so during those nature walks, I can remember we saw a deer. We saw raccoons in a tree. We saw herons eating frogs and fish and whatever nasty things they could put in their mouths. We saw a lot of ducks and geese. We saw fox, we saw a lot of wildlife, and I remember thinking these are some of the greatest days of my life, being with my little children in nature. And then we went to Colorado this past year. This was our vacation, and it was funny because nobody cared about the fact that we rode every roller coaster at every park. Rather, they came up and said, "What did you think of the nature?" And we said, "We loved it. It was amazing. It was beautiful. If you've never been to the mountains, it's something to behold." And so everywhere we went, Garden of the Gods, the beauty was resounding. And we enjoyed being in nature. And literally right here in our own backyard, as a matter of fact, we're going to be there soon enough, you've got Sugar Grove Nature Center. And if you've never been there, it's truly something to behold. I mean, you really get to see beautiful things right here in our own area. And so we like nature, and we like being in nature. Now, while these examples of nature connote an image of beauty, our sin nature does not. In fact, the very term sin nature makes all believers shudder in disgust when we consider our natural inclination to sin. Now, while this sin nature is prevalent in every woman, child, and man, it wasn't found in man until Satan deceived that woman and that man in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 1:27 says this: "So God made man like his maker." Like God did God make man, man and maid did he make them. And what that means is that when God made man, man did not have that sin nature. Man was created to be like God and live like God and look like God, could never be God. But he was going to be good. And then something happened. Genesis 1:31 claims that what God made was excellent in every way. By the way, if you get high marks from God and he says it was excellent, let me promise you, it was indeed excellent. But Satan's appearance in the Garden of Eden and his cunning deception not only introduced sin to man, but it was the means to pollute humanity. And it only introduced sin to man. It created a bloodline that would be steeped in wickedness and evil and depravity. The sin nature was prevalent in the first line of descendants from Adam and Eve, where their son Cain was identified as the world's first murderer. Sadly, this sin nature is a part of every man's ancestry. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 5:12, he says, "When Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. His sin spread death throughout all the world, so everything began to grow old and die, for all sin." The great Charles Spurgeon once said this. He says, "As the salt flavors every drop in the Atlantic, so does every sin affect every atom, A-T-O-M, of our nature," end quote. Romans 3:23, part of our Romans Road series that we know and we love, reads like this: "Yes, all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious ideal." And let me make sure we understand this, folks, and it's not good news, but it is the news, and that is this: all truly means all. We're not above anybody else. We are like everybody else. We're all sinners. A walk through the Hebrews 11 Faith Hall of Fame would indicate as much. While these men and women were noted for their great faith, they were also known as guilty sinners. For example, Noah was a drunk, Genesis 8, 20 and 21. Abraham was a liar, Genesis 20, verse 2. Moses was a murderer, Exodus 2, verse 12. Samson was proud and lustful, Judges 16. And David, David was a schemer and David was an adulterer, 2 Samuel 11. If you ever attend our Wednesday night Bible study, it's just pick on David night. We feel bad. Lest we fail to mention Paul, a persecutor and accomplice to murder. And Peter. We're going to create a new term today. Peter was a Christ denier. Even the most faithful ones were still infected once. Sadly, folks, we too are those infected ones. And if you have an infection, we got to find a cure. If you have an infection, that means that we are polluted in some way. Something foreign is in our body, in our nature, in our way that needs to be removed and extracted. We need to be healed. And today, folks, today we have the opportunity to be healed. While every man has a sin nature, the world has a sin nurturer. And we know him as Satan. You see, to nurture, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is to feed or nourish, and this is precisely what Satan does. He nurtures our sin nature. While we know that sin is destructive, Romans 6:23, part of our Romans Road series, says this, "For the wages of sin is death." Satan nurtures our sin nature, and he makes sin actually look attractive. You see, folks, it's one thing to be infected, but it's even worse when we are influenced and impacted. We find nature beautiful. I can question anybody. You don't have to be a tree hugger, tree lover. You don't have to go out and love animals. But I can assure you of this. If you go out someday and you spend one day in nature, I can assure you that even those who say they don't care about nature would come away and say, "I found some beauty in nature." We like nature. We find beauty in nature. But here's what's interesting. Satan makes the sin nature look beautiful too. He makes it look alluring. He makes it look attractive. All the while, Satan being himself totally and fully deceptive. And this is where we have fallen prey. You see, in many cases, we don't understand what our sin looks like, and we don't understand how destructive our sin really is. Because Satan is back there saying, just keep doing it. It looks good. It feels good. It will do you good. And we're not paying attention. 1 John 2:15 and 16 says, "Stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love these things, you show that you do not really love God. For all these worldly things, these evil desires, the craze for sex, the ambition to buy everything that appeals to you, and the pride that comes from wealth and importance, these are not from God. They are from this evil world itself." Now, we know these things as biblical terms called lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Satan nurtures our sin nature and makes us believe that we cannot be saved, that we are not worthy of eternal life because God cannot give us eternal life, and thus we should just enjoy everything in this life. It's a deception of the fullest nature, and that's how he nurtures it. And many people today are believing it. They believe they can't be saved. They believe that they're not capable to serve. And they believe that God can't do what he said he could do and what Jesus Christ did on the cross. What he did. Today we are being deceived by Satan, the ultimate deceiver. Satan knows our sin nature. He makes us believe that we cannot be saved. But God knew that man needed a savior. A final, once and for all, atoning sacrifice. So he sacrificed his son to overcome our sin. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, was sinless. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us this. Peter calls Jesus the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. 1 Peter 1:19. As part of our Holy Communion today and our receiving of the elements, the bread and the cup, we are subsequently reminded that the only way to defeat our inner sin nature and this evil sin nurturer is to believe in and love and live for our holy Savior. And there's no other way. And when people say, "I can be good enough, I can work enough, I can serve enough, I can do enough," I can tell you we'll never be able to do enough. Jesus Christ accomplished everything. Jesus Christ is enough. Let's read some sermon text today. It comes from Romans 5, 14 through 19, Romans 6, 4 through 11. Here's what this passage says, starting with Romans 5, 14 through 19. Paul says, "What a contrast between Adam and Christ, who is yet to come. And what a difference between man's sin and God's forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to many through his sin. But this one man, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness to many through God's mercy. Adam's one sin brought the penalty of death to many, while Christ freely takes away many sins and gives glorious life instead. The sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to be king over all. But all who will take God's gift of forgiveness and acquittal are kings of life because of this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's sin brought punishment to all, but Christ's righteousness makes men right with God so that they can live. Adam caused many to be sinners because he disobeyed God. And Christ caused many to be made acceptable to God because he obeyed. Let's move on. Romans 6, 4 through 11. Paul goes on. He says, your old sin-loving nature was buried with him by baptism when he died. And when God the Father with glorious power brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. For you've become a part of him. And so you died with him, so to speak, when he died. And now you share his new life and shall rise as he did. Your old evil desires were nailed to the cross with him. That part of you that loves to sin was crushed and fatally wounded so that your sin-loving body was no longer under sin's control. No longer needs to be a slave to sin. For when you are dead into sin, you are freed from all of its allure and its power over you. And since your old sin-loving nature died with Christ, we know that you will share his new life. Christ rose from the dead and will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. He died once for all to end sin's power, but now he lives forever in unbroken fellowship with God. So look upon your old sin nature as dead and unresponsive to sin, and instead be alive to God, alert to him through Jesus Christ our Lord. As believers, we are reminded that our old sin nature is dead, but oftentimes we just don't bury it. You see, Paul's struggles denoted in Romans 7, 15 through 25 indicates an ongoing need of Jesus Christ to overcome a deadened, but in many cases not yet buried sin nature and an evil and inspired sin nurture. Paul admitted that he needed someone and something. And he identified that someone as Jesus Christ, and he identified that something as the salvation that came through his Savior, Jesus Christ. John's words in 1 John 1:9 remind us of God's great role in helping us to overcome our sin. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, on this day marked by Jesus' final and atoning sacrifice and our opportunity to believe in and love and live for the very man who became man's sin on that cross, today we have the opportunity in this church to confess our sins, to seek forgiveness of those sins while also forgiving our fellow man, and to live a life that is led by God's Holy Spirit and lived like and for our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is only by the power of Jesus, our Savior, that we can experience ultimate eternal victory over our depraved sin nature. Let's look at our Holy Communion scripture passage. It comes from Matthew 26, 17 through 29. Here's what that passage says. It says, on the first day of the Passover ceremonies, when bread made with yeast was purged from every Jewish home, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where shall we plan to eat the Passover? He, Jesus, replied, go in the city, see Mr. So-and-so, tell him our master says, my time has come and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house. And so the disciples did as he told them and prepared the supper there. That evening, as he sat eating with the 12, he said, one of you will betray me. Sorrow chilled their hearts. Each one asked, am I the one? Jesus replied, it is the one I serve first. For I must die, just as was prophesied, but woe to the man by whom I am betrayed. Far better for that one if he had never been born. Judas too had asked him, Rabbi, am I the one? And Jesus had told him, yes. As they were eating, Jesus took a small loaf of bread, and he blessed it, broke it apart, gave it to the disciples, and said, take it and eat it, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine, he gave thanks for it, he gave it to them, and said, each one, drink from it, for this is my blood, sealing the new covenant. It is poured out to forgive the sins of multitudes. Mark my words, I will not drink this wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So let me ask you, what sin or sins are afflicting you, addicting you? or infecting you today? Are you ready to allow God to change your nature and help you in your everyday battle with Satan? Who is this evil world's sin nurturer? Folks, it starts with forgiveness. It starts with a longing to be forgiven of our sins and a desire to be able to forgive our fellow man for what he or she has done to us. Let us go before our Lord and Savior in a time of silent prayer to seek this forgiveness that was secured at the cross. And as we bow our heads and prepare for this prayer, I will encourage you, if you want to join us at the altar, you may. Folks, when we offer Holy Communion, it is an opportunity, and I hope that you see this as that kind of opportunity, where we can become right with God, where we can trust God to bring us into that relationship with Him that we need more than ever. Folks, we all have a sin nature, and the only way to overcome this sin nature, the only way to make it dead, and the only way to bury it is to trust Jesus Christ to do it. That's how it works. So today, if you wish to join us here at the altar, feel free to come forward now as we pray silently, seeking forgiveness of our sins and asking God not only to forgive us of our sins, but also that we may forgive those who have sinned against us. Feel free to join us here at the altar now. Our Heavenly Father, we know that to you this silence is deafening because we know how loud these prayers are. Every single one of us have a sin nature. Every single one of us are guilty of committing sins against you, and every single one of us needs your help. And whatever these things are, whatever addiction it is, whatever affliction it is, whatever infection there is inside of us, I pray today that you will take it from us. We can't do this on our own. We've tried. Man tries. And we fail. Father, you know our hearts and you know what's in our hearts. And so today on this day of Holy Communion, when we recognize the sacrifice that was made by your Son, Jesus Christ, on that cross, I pray that we would welcome this graceful gift that you give us. Help us to accept this kind and this wonderful and generous offer that you give us to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and to be forgiven and cleansed of our sins. And I pray today that you would help us on this day to remember this day that we would start anew. That the Holy Spirit would come inside of us, dwell in us, fill us, and move in us and help us to live a life that is righteous. And I pray today that you would help us to overcome these things that trip us up. I pray today that you would help us in defeating the sin nurture. We can't do it on our own. And I pray today that you would help us to see the danger of our sin and the deception that tells us that our sin is okay. That we can live with it, that we can be Christians and still have it. Today I pray that you'll convict us to know that we can't. Father, I pray today that you would help us to understand the pain and the suffering that your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ endured in those times of affliction, even before and when he hung on that cross. And I pray today that you would draw us closer to you than we've ever been drawn before. Thank you for this opportunity to serve you and love you, and we pray now that you will help us in all that we do as we move forward with this service. I pray today that you would help us to love you more than ever. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All of us that truly and earnestly repent of our sins and that forgive and love our neighbors and long to lead a new life following the holy commandments of God, the salvation that's offered through our risen Savior Jesus Christ, will today with faith take this holy sacrament and make our humble confession to our Almighty God. These words of John come from Jesus in Revelation 3:20. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Let us pray together our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand as we sing hymn number 460. Let us break bread together. Well, folks, let me explain some of the things regarding our Holy Communion service. And the conversation came up this week, and someone said, "How long have you been in Covell?" I said, "24 years." They said, "That's a long time." And I said, "It is a long time." And I think back in our communion service, we've kind of always done it the same way, and I love that. And I love that we have that traditional funeral or that traditional communion service. And I love that we have something that means so much. And so we continue to do it this way. We dedicate a day to Holy Communion because we think it's that important. And we believe that if we're going to partake of these elements, that we have to have the right heart condition, that we have to be focused on what Jesus Christ did and what God intended for him, for his son, and for mankind. And so today, as we dedicate an entire service to these elements, I pray today that we'll consider the magnitude of them and everything that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ endured on that cross. Let me explain a few things about Holy Communion in our service. We do this 6 times a year. I will tell you that 24 years ago, we had people coming to this altar. And let me tell you, Sharon, I'm looking at you because I think every time of Holy Communion, your face just flashes for me because Sharon's one that has come to the altar and cries and sheds tears, and I love that. It means that much to us. And so today, if you want to come to the altar, you kneel, you can stand. You can stand by Velma if you want. We will serve you here. If you want to remain seated in your pew, you say, "I can't get down there." We'll help you if you want to come down. If you can't get down, if you want to stay in your pew, we will bring those elements to you. I will let you know those are stacked. There's a cup on top of a cup. So just be very careful because they can stick and we don't want you to wear it. So that is important. Also, we're going to partake of the elements together. Just kind of follow my lead up here. We really believe that we should be partaking together, much like the disciples and Jesus did that fateful night. And so with that being said, we will do this together, and you can follow my lead. Lastly, I want to mention this. We do not use wine. We use grape juice. And so just know that. And we really want you to know that if you're going to partake of the elements, we ask that you be a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. If you say, "You know what, I'm just not ready to do this yet," that's okay. You can observe. You can watch, you can pray, but we do ask that if you partake of the elements that you are, in fact, a committed and believing Christian. And with that being said, would our ushers come forward, please? Folks, this is neat when we get to work as a family together, and we always love to see our ushers and our servers that get to serve everybody here. As we've been told before, this is a family, and it feels like a family when we get to see them and we get to see them do this. So let me first introduce, this is Alan and Terry Kleinschmidt, friends of ours, and we love them dearly. Also, this is John and Shelley Marquis. They will be your usher servers today, and they will bring the elements to you. Now, if anybody wishes to come forward to the altar, feel free to kneel, stand, whatever you wish to do. You can come forward now. Who mercifully gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who at that cross offered himself as a full and perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the world, and who instituted in his holy gospel the command for us to continue this perpetual memory of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we pray. Help us as we receive this bread according to your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, that we would remember his passion and his death and his resurrection, and that we might partake of the divine nature through him, who in the same night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for all of us, we pray that it will preserve our souls and bodies until we receive everlasting life. After supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for all of us, we pray that it will preserve our souls and bodies until we receive everlasting life. And may the peace and love of the Lord be with all of us and remain with us during all the days of our lives. And you may return to your seats as you wish. To our ushers and servers, Alan, Terry, John, and Shelley, thank you so much. And to Brenda, who's the ultimate cup collector. Brenda, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Well, folks, we're going to go before our Lord in pastoral prayer. And before I do that, I want to mention, I think Laura must be downstairs. Laura's dad is going in for treatment tomorrow. Laura's dad is suffering from cancer. It's not good. And so we need to really, really pray for Mike. His name is Mike Miller. You've seen him on the list, and there is a great reason for this, because we believe that our God can do anything, and it's proven in so many of our examples and testimonies that we've heard today. And so we pray that God will be with Mike and Laura and daughters and the whole family. In addition, there's a lot of needs on our prayer list today, a lot of people that are needing help and that need some guidance. And so I will ask that we pray for them as well. If you have any special prayer requests, please give those to us. We are normally on time and getting those out on our email list and making sure that we can all pray upon those names during the week. In addition, keep your bulletins, folks. Take these home. These are, you know, we put these names in there for a reason, because these people become your people. And when you pray for these people, they feel it and God knows it. And so I pray that you would take this with you wherever your prayer chair is. Take it with you and pray for every one of these individuals. Sharon. Got it. All right, we'll do it. So Sharon's mom and Mike Miller, and folks, feel free, if you want to come back to the altar and join us here for pastoral prayer, feel free to do so now. Our Heavenly Father, what an honor it is to partake of the elements, to understand the suffering that your Son, our Savior Jesus, endured, and to realize that it was all for us, that Jesus died for us, and that today as we have life on this earth that will end, it is finite, we realize that you've provided us an eternal home that is infinite, an eternal home that will be there for us forever, spent with our friends and family members, with our Lord and Savior, and with you. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that we will each day, that we will long to spend that eternity with you. I pray that we will live lives that are centered on your word. And I pray today that we will forsake the things of this world. I pray that you will help us to minister to others, serve others, love others, and share with others. And I pray today that you will make us more like Jesus each and every day. I pray today that you would help us as we try to overcome this sin nature, knowing that we can't overcome it by ourselves and knowing that we need you to do it. And so today I pray that once again that you'll forgive us of our sins. I pray today that if in fact any of these individuals that have gathered here today have said, we want to follow you, we want to be with you, we want to serve you, I pray today that the next steps will be taken to live for you, and not only to believe in you, but to love you. And I pray today that you would change us from the inside. There are needs, Father, many needs, physical needs, mental needs, emotional needs, financial needs, family needs, they're out there. I pray that you'll be with Mike. I pray that this treatment would work according to your will. And we trust your will, and we know it's greater than ours. Be with all of the children, be with the grandchildren, be with everybody involved as he continues to fight this dreaded disease. Pray that you'll be with Sharon's mom, and I pray that you'll help her as well. I pray that you will lift her up during this time. I pray that that good news will ensue, and I pray, Father, that you would help us as a congregation to unite in praying for these individuals. We may not know them, may never have met them, but we feel like that we are part of them because they are part of our church family. Bless them and help them, we pray. Today, I pray that you'll be with every one of our missionaries and our missions team. I pray that you would help us to make an impact in this world because they're making an impact in this world. And I pray that we will help them and pray for them and give to them and love them. I pray today that you would help us to truly be grateful for all that we have. Today is a day of worship, and I pray that it won't end in these walls, but I pray today that we'll take it outside of these walls. And I pray that wherever we go, whatever we do, that we'll show Jesus to others. And I ask it according to your will. Father, we praise you and we thank you for everything that you've given us, and especially for this opportunity to remember Jesus' passion and death and resurrection. Give you all the praise and all the glory that you deserve today. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Let's close as the disciples did when they left that room and they went into song. Let's sing our final song and stand. All right, and with that said, guys, be safe in your travels back to Westville. That's a two-hour drive. I know you're going to probably stop in one of your Bloomington haunts. You guys know those very well, and have a great lunch, great place to eat. In the meantime, everyone else, praise God that we have a Savior who is willing to die for us, and our great God who sent His Son to die for us so that we can have everlasting life. When we walk out of this church today, let us commit ourselves to change lives. That's what we wish to do today. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and thank you for what He was willing to do on that cross. And I pray today that we will live lives in sacrifice, full of righteousness, willing to go out and help and love our fellow man to do what we are called to do, and help us to live like Christ, I pray. Thank you for this service, and thank you for the reminder of just how much you love us. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray today. Amen. Have a great week, everyone. God bless.